Uncertainty isn't just a challenge, it's a call to adapt. At Tagoras, we help organizations navigate disruption with clarity and confidence. Whether it's making smarter decisions about your portfolio, understanding shifting market dynamics, or identifying new opportunities for growth, we bring deep experience in strategy, market assessment, and lifelong learning. If you're looking to build a more resilient, responsive learning business, we're here to help. Learn more at tagoras.com/clarity.
If you're looking to improve the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business, focus on engagement, not content. Content is no longer king. Engagement is everything. I'm Salisa Steele.
I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Jeff, do you remember that idea of content being king?
Yeah, content is king. A lot of people don't know this, but that usually gets attributed to Bill Gates. He used that phrase in an essay titled, appropriately enough, Content is King. And that was published way back in ye old days of 1996 on the Microsoft website. So it's kind of ancient history, but Gates emphasized the importance of content on the internet and predicted content would be the key driver of revenue and success for businesses in the digital age. And to a certain extent, he was right.
But then along came kind of a new regent, someone to assume the throne. We started hearing context is king.
Yeah, I think, you know, that was very popular on the sort of marketing speaker circuit for a while, just to be kind of contrarian and offer an alternative once everybody was reciting that mantra that content is king. And that phrase has been attributed to a lot of different sources over time, but one of the probably the most notable early mentions comes from Gary Vaynerchuk, who's an entrepreneur, social media expert, and just all around highly visible guy when it comes to both content and context. And he emphasized the importance of context in digital marketing and social media. And that was back around 2012. So we're definitely dealing in old stuff here around content is king, context is king. And Vaynerchuk frequently discussed how delivering the right message in the right context is crucial for effective communication and engagement in the digital age.
Yes, and I would argue that it seems like neither context nor content is king today, and instead, engagement is everything.
I think that is true. You certainly hear a lot of buzz, a lot of wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth out there around engagement. Everybody's looking for engagement, and I don't think that means that suddenly content has no importance. It doesn't mean that context has no importance. And I think, by the way, the context thing is in a way sort of spun out into this focus on experience. You know, everything's about the experience now, which I think maybe is not fully getting at the true meaning of context, because, you know, it comes up with things like we're going to put people in an escape room or something like that to make it exciting and dynamic, which I don't think is what Vaynerchuk really had in mind when he was talking about context.
Well, let's talk a little bit about why we think content is no longer king, if it ever were, and why context is no longer king, if it ever were, was on the content side. I mean, I've heard you mention before, Jeff, and this is not necessarily your original idea, but, you know, you kind of saying what others are seeing, which is that really the value of content is moving to zero. You know, maybe back when Bill Gates published his post on the Microsoft website around, you know, content is king, at that point back in 1996, it was a little harder to find the right content, but it's getting so easy now to create content, to publish content, to then find that content that others have created and published. And so we're kind of awash in this sea of content, right? This is all the noise that we talk about. And so people are actually kind of overwhelmed by the content, and they're looking for that signal in that sea of noise. And so content in and of itself is not as inherently valuable as it once was.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely, as you say, not a thought that's in any way original to me. You hear this more and more. It's just something I like to say a lot, particularly in the right context, to talk about content. And it's not that content has no value. It's certainly, you still have to have the right content, the right stuff to get to, but it's market value its monetary value is rapidly going to zero, already is zero in many instances. And we're not talking about just like blog posts and social media. We're talking about things like courses that people want to be able to charge for and are having a very hard time charging for. And really, it's economics 101, which for anybody who didn't go through economics 101, it's the whole supply demand. And when you have an oversupply of something, it impacts the demand. I mean, people may still want it, but they're willing to pay less and less and less for it when there's that glut of supply out there.
And then what, just in the last year plus, not quite 2 years, we've had on top of what was already increasing ease to create and publish and find, now we have generative AI come along and making it that much easier to create and also to find content, because you can use that ChatGPT essentially like, you know, a search engine to help you find content that is really going to speak to whatever your need is in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the two sides to that, if you're a writer these days, if you're somebody who's made your living particularly by doing marketing-oriented writing, it's getting tougher and tougher. I mean, we engage writers who are telling us that they're feeling this, that they're seeing demand for their services go down because AI can create, you know, in the right hands, reasonably good quality content that, people can't necessarily distinguish from a human, and increasingly the search engines can't either, in spite of whatever Google or anybody else might say. That's one side of it. The other side is like the curation side of it, which, you know, often a role for learning businesses, for thought leaders, for all sorts of people who really make their living in being able to help people find the right information and to provide context, really. And as AI gets better and better at doing that, it's becoming a great curator. It's starting to understand context better. So you have this incredible automation of both content and context. At Tagoras, we partner with professional and trade associations, continuing education units, training firms, and other learning businesses to help them understand market realities and potential, to connect better with existing customers and find new ones, and to make smart investment decisions around product development and portfolio management. Drawing on our expertise in lifelong learning, market assessment, and strategy formulation, we can help you achieve greater reach, revenue, and impact. Learn more at tagoras.com/more.
So we've just been talking about why we don't think content is king any longer. And we touched on in the beginning this idea then of that shift to context. And Jeff, you made the comment that sometimes context and experience kind of get tied up together. But we also don't think that context is king anymore, or experience is per se. I mean, again, as with content, you still have to have it. You still want to have a good experience. You still want to have that right context for the content. But that in and of itself also isn't sufficient. And sometimes the emphasis on experience almost gets sort of changed, because that word can mean different things. And sometimes I think what ends up happening with experience is it's the ice sculptures and it's the rock and roll band and the lovely past hors d'oeuvres, rather than actually the experience tied to the learning and the importance of making use of whatever time you have together, whether that's online or in person or synchronous or asynchronously. But basically, what is that experience that unfolds the content? That's more important to our mind than kind of the escape rooms, the ice sculptures, the more kind of just fun, yes, but not necessarily contributing to learning per se.
Right. Really, when it comes down to it, they made for great catchphrases, but content was never really king. Context was never really king. These were means to an end. I mean, you want good, compelling content out there. You want to understand context well, because you want to engage people ultimately. That's really in a way, engagement has always been king. Or maybe engagement isn't really king, but we're at least going to
highlight it. Engagement is everything. We're getting rid of this idea of the gendered regent. This is engagement is everything. And we should talk about what we mean by engagement. And we'll share a definition that we like to use. It's kind of a slightly modified version of a definition from the Glossary of Education Reform. that glossary focuses kind of more on K through 12 education. So they talk about things like student rather than learner. But in essence, it's their definition with just these minor modifications. And they say that learner education is the degree of attention, curiosity, interest, optimism, and passion that learners show when they are learning or being taught, which extends to the level of motivation that they have to learn and progress in their education.
Right. And, you know, we've talked about this definition before in webinars and sessions that we've given. We like it because it recognizes that there are three dimensions of engagement. First of all, cognitive engagement. And that's kind of evidenced by the use of words like attention, curiosity, and interest in that definition.
And then there's also emotional engagement. And you hear that in the words optimism and passion in that definition.
And then behavioral engagement, which gets encapsulated in that key verb show, that it's visible. You can see that engagement is happening.
So we really like that definition because it pulls together the cognitive engagement, the emotional engagement, and the behavioral engagement, all of which are really important if you want to have a highly effective learning offering for the market that you serve.
And so you can probably gather from even from that definition that the engagement does involve content. It does involve context and or experience, however you want to parse those. But it's better than and it's more than either one of those alone. In fact, I think it's even probably greater than the sum of the parts, really.
Right. I mean, engagement speaks to value. And we're big on value here at Leading Learning. I mean, if you're optimistic and passionate about something, that's because you value that thing. You know, you're going to direct your attention and your interest and your curiosity towards things that you value. So if you have engagement, it already speaks to value, and you're providing something that the learners value.
And then engagement also gets at uniqueness, or at least distinctiveness. So, you know, your attention and interest are directed towards things that, at least to you, feel unique, or at least, you know, less than kind of the run-of-the-mill usual things that you encounter. So they're worth paying some attention to, and they're worth your interest because they do kind of stand out from the ordinary.
And then importantly, that definition that we offered of engagement, it covers action. Engaged learners do something. They show their engagement. They sign up for courses. They show up for courses. They actively participate and they apply what they're learning. And so you have that emotional, the cognitive, and the behavioral engagement. And that's why we're saying engagement is everything. Because if you have all of that, I mean, this is the recipe for highly successful, highly impactful learning offerings.
And I think we are in a time now, and again, you mentioned AI earlier, Salisa, where there's a lot of worry about what content to produce, how to produce that content fast enough, how to repurpose that content. And certainly learning businesses do need to focus on that. Again, it's not that content has no value. You know, we're just saying that the market value is getting increasingly questionable. And of course, learning businesses are also, in our experience, or talked to a lot of professionals who are very worried about the contextual side of it. What is the right type of experience? How do they really engage learners in the right way at the right time? Again, we do have to look at that. But in terms of where we're trying to get with all of this, it's to really engage our learners, because if we're not engaging them, we're not going to get them there in the first place. We're not going to keep them there. We're not going to get them to come back. And then, of course, because of that, we ultimately are not going to achieve the learning aims and the impact that we aim to achieve with everything we do as learning business professionals.
If you're looking to improve the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business, focus on engagement, not content. Content is no longer king. Engagement is everything.
At leadinglearning.com/episode416, you'll find show notes, a transcript, and options for subscribing to the podcast. If you haven't yet, please do take a minute to subscribe.
We'd be grateful if you would take a minute to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, especially if you enjoy the show. Jeff and I personally appreciate those reviews and ratings, and they help the podcast show up when others search for content on leading a learning business.
And please spread the word about Leading Learning. You can do that in a one-on-one exchange with a colleague, or you can do it through social media. In the show notes at leadinglearning.com/episode416, you'll find a link to connect with us on LinkedIn.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.